This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
I sued.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. The big name on the lips of high-tech types this week, iPhone. You probably thought it belonged to Apple. Guess again. Cisco Systems actually owns the rights. It bought the iPhone trademark through an acquisition in 2000. Now Cisco is suing Apple. The two are expected to reach a final agreement, which maybe Apple writes a big check to Cisco. Maybe Apple will also have to say, I'm sorry. Since we're talking about gadgets, you probably have a few around the house. U.S. consumers spent $145 billion on electronics last year. They're expected to spend even more this year. So why aren't gadget makers celebrating? Marketplace's Amy Scott explains.
The companies that are rolling out the flat-screen TVs and cell phones driving the gadget boom aren't exactly rolling in dough. Reuters reports that in the last few years, profit margins at Sony, Samsung, Panasonic, and Philips haven't topped 6%. That is, for every dollar they make in revenue, less than 6 cents is profit. Analyst Rob Enderle says it's a simple case of oversupply.
While people are buying these things in unprecedented numbers, people are also building them in unprecedented numbers. And when you've got supply that exceeds demand, you've got a margin problem.
Enderle says instead of slashing prices, as the companies did over the holidays, they could take a page from Apple. He says the maker of iPods and the new iPhone keeps prices high, but then markets its products so well that customers are willing to pay. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Today, House Democrats are expected to approve a bill that would extend government funding for embryonic stem cell research. Polls indicate Americans overwhelmingly support the idea. That's not likely to sway the White House, however. President Bush vetoed this bill last year and has threatened to do it again. Meanwhile, a British regulator will issue a landmark ruling today. The Human Fertilization and Embryology Authority will decide whether laboratories in Britain will be allowed to experiment with part human, part animal embryos. This could have big economic and scientific repercussions in the UK. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
Because of the shortage of human eggs for stem cell research, scientists here want to use the eggs of rabbits or cows. Their contents would be removed and replaced with human DNA. The resulting hybrid embryo would be more than 99% human. After the experiments, the hybrids would be swiftly destroyed. But the scientists say they've been told the regulator will, later today, ban this procedure. If it does, it'll be a big setback for Britain's biotech industry, says spokesman Dr. Simon Best.
Well, it will slow down the rate of the progress that can be made in an area where the UK is actually at the leading edge of the research. So we're going to shoot ourselves in the foot in an important area of research.
The experiments are aimed at finding cures for diseases like Alzheimer's. Ultimately, the researchers believe these kind of treatments could generate more business than the existing pharmaceutical industry. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The price of oil continues to fall. Light crude dropped 80 cents to $53.22 a barrel this morning. If you're keeping track, oil prices have slipped more than 11% in the past 2 weeks. The drop in oil hurt big oil company stocks, but Alcoa's earnings and Apple helped lift the market yesterday. The Dow added 25 points to 12,442. The Nasdaq rose 15 points to 2459. And the S&P ticked up 2 points. It's at 1414. This week, for the 10th year in a row, Marriott has been listed as one of the 100 best companies to work for by Fortune magazine. Marriott is the only U.S. lodging company to make the list.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, working with Habitat for Humanity to build over 350 homes this year with families in need. On the web at thriveandbuilds.com. And by Fellows, millions of businesses worldwide choose Fellow Shredders for their shredding needs. Fellows, the bulldog of shredders. More at fellows.com.
Today, the very first Ritz-Carlton hotel, built in Boston in 1927, will transfer ownership to Mumbai-based Taj Hotels. The cost? $170 million. From WBUR in Boston, Kurt Nickisch checks in.
Thank you very much.
Sitting in the cafe at the Ritz-Carlton Boston, socialite Smokey Bacon remembers getting married here. She went to her favorite cocktail party here, too, after a funeral. It was in the will. And she'll never forget the woman who was wearing slacks instead of the required dress.
When they told her that she couldn't come into the dining room, she ran around the dining room screaming.
Soon, the Ritz will serve a new cast of customers as the international Taj Hotel Group breaks into the U.S. market by buying this 278-room hotel. Back in its home base of India, many Taj properties are converted royal palaces. In the Taj Mahal Hotel lobby in New Delhi, a fountain splashes under a mural of an elephant. Tiger statues stand guard in the hotel suites. But David Gibbons says you won't see elephant statues on the Boston Common.
Taj is known as the steward of iconic buildings and palaces. We look at this one as an American palace.
The new general manager says the Ritz name will change to the Taj Boston, but little else will, though Gibbons might spice up the menu with a few Indian entrees.
If I do, there'll be someone grinding the curry daily properly and not, it'll be done with the authenticity. So, yeah, that'll be added to the repertoire, but it won't be the repertoire.
An international flavor could help Taj, says hotel industry analyst Matt Arendts. He says Boston's social elites no longer pay the bill. These days, it's corporate customers and a new wave of international travelers.
And they're coming for medical treatment at Mass General Hospital or one of the other medical institutions in the city. They're here to go shopping on Newbury Street or to visit their kids at Harvard, BU, or MIT. So that's an important factor.
A factor that went into the purchase price. Taj paid $600,000 per room for the Boston Ritz, the highest price ever here. It reflects a larger trend, says Martin Damaris. He edits the Indus Business Journal and says Indian companies are flush with cash after a decade of U.S. outsourcing. Now they've got American know-how.
The door's open. Now it's a two-way street, I think. They know how to do it one way, so it's not too hard to take a look at that and do it the other way.
Next month, Bostonians will have to get used to another way of putting on the Ritz. Hotel industry analyst Matt Arendts.
I'll tell you, the one thing that I like is that it's a nice, quick one syllable, so you can say, I'll meet you at the Taj for a drink, just as easily as you can say, I'll meet you at the Ritz.
Chai and crumpets? Anyone? In Boston, I'm Kurt Nickisch for Marketplace.
You can see photos of the early days of the Boston Ritz-Carlton on our website, marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
Flat screen TV.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.